And we are live for the 160th episode of the Bronx Bomber Battle Podcast, presented to you by Six Pack Coverage. I'm your host, Matt Lazzaluigi, and tonight, Andrew, Alex, and I's in the first show of 2024. How about it, boys? New year, new us.
New 2024 Yankees. ALCS losers.
Positive vibes are back? Question mark. I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah, it's been a bit, you know, it's been a few weeks, holidays, we're busy, we do have lives, right?
At least one of us does.
Some of us do. Anyways, yeah, the Yankees, a lot of new faces, a lot of unexpected signings, who in a million years, you know, the, hey, look at us meme with us and Marcus Stroman, right? Do-rag day in the Bronx is going to be a promotion day, so that's going to be fun, but... Yeah, I mean, Alex Verdugo, we got Luke Weaver. I mean, there's a lot of new faces in the Bronx. We're going to go over that. We're going to go over kind of our outlook and feel for the team, because as of today, it's January 24th. We're about a month away from the start of spring training game. So before you know it, it'll be here. But guys, how are we doing? I'm not going to ask about any other of your sports teams because I know that's going terrible. One of us being a Devils fan, one of us being a Bills fan. So other than that, how's life going, guys?
I first want to take the opportunity to call you out for something, Luigi, because you might not know this, but I enjoy proving you wrong on some things.
No, never.
And you said there's new faces in the Bronx coming this season, and Luke Weaver was on the 2023 team, made three starts. Arguably the most forgettable player in the 2023?
I'm going to raise my hand. Luigi's a guest. I'm going to raise my hand and say, yes, I did forget Luke Weaver was on the 2023 Yankees. And I am not afraid to admit that. That was 2023. If there was one year in the last 15 years of the Yankees to just kind of wipe some things. I mean, there's going to be some good trivia that comes out of 2023 Yankees. Right? Like, name this player. You're going to be like.
The Sporkle quiz for last season is going to be fun.
Oh, it's going to be not
quite as fun as 2013, but right up there.
That's because 2013, they had like eight different guys play third.
Correct.
And
Travis Ishikawa played a game.
A game at first, yeah.
Yeah, so obviously.
Anyway, let's bring this back here, right? So, obviously we haven't had a podcast in, I guess, like 7 weeks
Soto,
at this point, maybe a little longer. Right? It was the night one Soto got traded.
Soto what, Luigi?
Signed. Did he say signed?
Yeah, he said signed.
Yeah, so me and Gene had that podcast within an hour of it getting announced, and, you know, it was right around the corner, right? Like, well, we'll be on in a week when they announce Yamamoto. We'll be on maybe if that doesn't happen, maybe a few weeks later, it'll be a big trade, you know, smoke about Corbin Burns, Dylan Cease, maybe Shane Bieber. None of it's happened, right? Like, obviously, yes, the Marcus Stroman signing a couple weeks ago was a big move, relatively speaking, but we're still kind of waiting for like that next big shoe to drop. It kind of feels like last year when the Yankees signed Judge, extended Judge. And then they went out and they got Carlos Rodon, and they were like, we're not done yet. And we're waiting for that move. And then spring training rolled around and they hadn't done anything else. It kind of feels like that again. And I know Stroman is a significant addition, whether you like him or not. I still have mixed feelings. I don't know how confident I feel that he shores up the rotation. But it is weird that like, we're still waiting for that big Yankee move so they could say they owned the offseason. And they haven't really done that yet.
You see, we've said this so many times. There's been – ever since the – offseason after 2017, they have just made enough moves to kind of put band-aids over the roster and fix whatever might have been the problem. And they haven't made that huge groundbreaking move that made everyone go, oh my God, this is huge. And the last time they really did that was when they got Stan, because they didn't need him. You could make the argument that Cole was that, but I would argue that if the Yankees hadn't gotten Cole with all the connections that they had to him over the previous decade, that would have been a tragedy.
And who were they going to get outbid by that year?
Exactly. Like, it was between the Angels, the Dodgers, and the Yanks. So, like, it was basically Cole was going to be a Yankee unless someone said, hey, 10 years, $400 million. So, and even...
I do think it was a very good offseason for the Yankees, though. And I think it was one of their better offseasons in the past 5 or 6 years. Which isn't saying much, but I do think you have to give them that. I'm not here to throw a Brian Cashman parade and say, oh, Cashman's back. But, I mean, they got the lefties. They got Soto.
No. So far, it's definitely been easily, I would say, the best offseason since...
Of the last three?
Of the last three. Oh, yeah.
Easily the last three.
But, so, here's the kind of the thing we're talking about here is the Yankees.
We want a cherry on top, you know?
Yeah, I do. I want that finishing piece. But the Yankees have this weird habit, and maybe it's ego, maybe it's just a little ignorance, overconfidence in themselves, whatever you want to call it, that they kind of feel like there's more upside in their roster than they showed the previous season, than they showed in the playoffs, whatever it may be, right? So, like, on paper, can the Yankees line up as currently constructed? Be a force? Possibly, but part of me thinks we're still dealing with a house of cards, right? Is DJ fully cooked? Is Stanton never going to get back to where he needs to be? I know he's slimmed down. How much is that going to make a difference? We have no idea what to expect with Rizzo with his, I don't want to say CTE situation, right? But he screwed up his head with the concussion last year. Like, there's a lot of things that could go wrong, and I don't want to sound like a blanket right off the
screen. How's Volpe going to look in his second year, right?
There's so many question marks. Like, you look at the roster right now. Obviously, it's not bad. I would put them, just in terms of roster right now, I'd say they're probably in the top seven, the top half of the American League. I don't know if they're good enough to be the best in the AL East, just compared to the Orioles youth movement, the Jays. At some point you think are going to be good with the roster they have, but the amount of question marks on the roster, it just gives me so much unease about it, because you have Judge. Obviously he's Judge, but they've said his toe is fully healed. I trust Andrew saying that he's under 30 more than I trust the Yankees saying someone's fully healed.
All right.
And
we're going to get a tweet from the Yankees PR saying Aaron Judge has undergone successful surgery.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be ready in July.
8, 10 weeks. You're just like,
I have a tweet of mine from last summer. I bookmarked it just in case. And I want to be wrong. I want to unbookmark it and have it go away, but I have it just in case. Basically, it's just like, POV, the Yankees announced in the first week of March that Aaron Judge needs surgery to repair his toe injury from last year. And the meme is like, accepting your own death. It's like a lady in a hospital bed. Like, yeah. I have that ready to go to dig. And just because of the history, right? How many times have they, we saw it with DJ 2 years in a row, right? Like, this is just what they do. I want to believe that his toe is fine. He finished the season when he came back. He looked fine.
He finished the season strong too. And that's what makes me confident that he's going to be back to normal, but you don't know, especially because he's a giant. And his lower half has to take on so much more stress than the normal person, because the guy is 9 feet tall and weighs 600 pounds. I don't know what his updated weight is, but like, you're 6'7", 280. You're 6'7", 280. Like, your lower body has got to be has to be so much more brittle unless you really put in the work. And I'm not saying he's not going to, but it's just, I'm very wary about him continuing to play in the outfield, especially if they're planning on playing him in center the whole season.
Yeah.
And that's, and like, all this that I'm just saying, that's just Judge, who I would argue is the second most...
Oh, sure thing.
Closest thing. The only other closest thing is Cole. Like, Cole is the guy.
Or... I mean, if you want to say offensively, Soto. I mean, obviously, he hasn't been a Yankee
yet. I wouldn't
even
say Soto yet, because he hasn't played in the Bronx yet.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I don't want to sound like too much of a Yankee fan and just say, like, oh, well, he hasn't shown it in the Bronx. Like, just based on his career numbers, like, just in terms of the OP,
my counterpoint to that is he was not great when he got traded to the Padres midseason. And obviously midseason trades are way different than they are during the season. But I would not be shocked if he comes out and he struggles in April.
I mean, it's the Yankees, of course. Of course, he's going to struggle in April. But
they don't have nice things.
And Andrew, look, when you're saying the Yankees, they didn't add that wow piece. I mean, Jeter Downs and Diego Castillo.
Downs really do. Any
more of a casual?
Oscar Gonzalez, anyone?
Jorbit Vivas. I mean, come on, guys. These guys all have great B-vor bop. So,
We got to pour one out for Bubba Thompson. We hardly Bubba knew.
Oh, yeah.
Just claimed off waivers today.
Rip.
Where's the highlight vid? Alex, you were mentioning before the AL East. The Yankees are favored to win the AL East by quite a bit. It's the Yankees at plus 130, O's at plus 275, Blue Jays at plus 325, Rays at plus 650.
I'm not putting money on the Yankees. No way.
Yeah.
I think they can. Don't get me wrong. The optimist in me thinks they can. But that's if there's like 10 things that need to go right. That's seven minimum things have to go right.
I'm talking from a gambling perspective. Yeah. The plus 130 with all the downside, that's barely doubling up in money.
That's not good value.
There's not enough upside there on all the risk you're bearing with the Yankees. Yeah. So from a betting perspective, I wouldn't touch that.
Yeah.
Well, and it's also interesting that the Yankees, for it feels like the fifth or sixth straight year, it's them and the Astros favored to win the AL, both at plus 400. Right. So, and like I said, it seems like it's like that every year. And I do think Vegas is very sharp. I'm not saying Vegas baseball or casuals, but it does feel like there's always like they know that there's always just going to be a lot of people betting on the Yankees. So they maybe put the Yankees at a better number to say, hey, come on, you Yankee fans, bet on this number. That's a good number, right? Knowing that people are going to bet on it and it's probably not going to hit. So I don't know. It's interesting though. Cause like I said, I mean, look, last year we added Soto, but I mean, for us to be that favored to win the AL East after we finished 17, 18 games out last year, like I said, I'm not a big futures guy anyway, but yeah, you will not be seeing me put money on Yankees plus 130 to win the AL East. That is not good value. I mean, the O's at plus 275. That's not a bad bet to take. So yeah, guys, it's like I think we all kind of feel the same way about this Yankees team. Now, like I said, we wanted lefties for years. Now we have Verdugo. Now we have Soto. I mean, I know he was terrible last year, but Trent Grisham is a good get. There's a lot more lefties in this team. Hopefully Rizzo could, like we said, you don't want to joke about his brain injury because it was serious, but it's true. He may have long-lasting side effects. Like, it wouldn't be shocking if Rizzo in April just came out or in spring training, if he like can't hit the ball, if he's just not seeing the ball, like that could be like a very serious issue. So yeah, it feels like it's the same thing every year. This is what happens when you have a team with guys that are, you know, mostly in their mid 30s, right? There's going to be a lot of question marks. There's a lot of mileage and it's tough, but at the same time, I do think they had a good offseason. So,
yeah, because right now they're unequivocally better than they were at the end of 2023.
Absolutely.
No, it's not even
low bar, but yes, they are much better.
But it's not about whether or not they're better. It's about whether or not they're better than the other 14 teams in the AL. And right now, I can probably name 10 that I think they're definitely better than. I don't think they're better than the Rangers. I don't think they're better than the Astros. And I don't think they're better. I'm back and forth on whether or not they're better than the Orioles.
I don't think until proven otherwise. Now, the Orioles are primed for some regression, right? Like them winning whatever it was, 103 games last year.
But at the same time, they're also prime for progression from all the other prospects they're going to bring up.
Well, but some pitchers are going to get hurt. They're not going to pitch as well as they did last year. The bullpen, they already took a hit without Batista the whole year, Tommy John. Like, things, they're going to struggle. I'm not going to say they're going to be bad, but they're not going to just walk
pitching, away to an AL East title. Their pitching is going to be the biggest question mark, which is why it's insane that they haven't gone out. They've only gone out and they've gotten Kimbrel, and that's it in terms of pitching. But I think their offense has a chance to be pretty crazy.
That's what's going to win them games.
Exactly. Their offense and their defense.
How are you going to feel when Aaron Hicks is throwing around a 120 WRC plus? Did they sign him just for last year?
I don't know how that contract worked. Like, since he got cut, does that just mean, and the Yankees were paying everything except for the prorated amount for the rest of 23, does that mean he's still going to be on the Orioles and his contract just goes?
That's the thing. I read through the CBA.
Yeah.
Early in the offseason, because there was one other player that applied to.
Yeah,
maybe Hayward, maybe? I think he was still technically getting paid by, the Cardinals?
Cubs.
Or the Cubs, one of them.
His contract was up after the year, I thought.
Yeah, but sorry, so it's the same thing. So technically, Aaron Hicks, I'm looking at it right now, the day the offseason ended, elected free agency. So he's technically a free agent, but the Yankees.
But if a team was going to sign him, they only would have to pay him the prorated amount because the Yankees still owe.
How does that work? Is it?
So it's the Yankees still owe however much in his contract, the 3 year, is it three? It's two
3 years, $30 million roughly.
Yeah. So whichever team signs him has to pay him the league minimum, and that just gets taken out of the Yankees amount. So
he's not signing a multi-year deal. Like, did we just repeat the process again next offseason?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, and I think we've talked too much about Aaron Hicks the past.
Point.
But yes, the O's, they're scary. I mean, they terrify the hell out of me. Some other interesting, since we're on betting, let's just go some other interesting lines.
The degenerates are back.
It's good content, Alex. Chill out. Yeah. The Yankees have the two favorites to win the AL MVP in Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, and also the favorite to win the AL Cy Young. The top five for Cy Young in order goes Luis Castillo, Pablo Lopez, Framber Valdez, said that weird, Kevin Gausman, and Gerrit Cole. So, good list.
Is that 5-1?
Yeah, 5-1.
So Cole, I was going to say,
Cole's the favorite at one.
And Castillo being the favorite was weird. I get him in the top five.
They put Framber Valdez at 3? Gausman was 2.
3, yeah. Framber is +800 to win the Cy Young. Gausman plus 700.
Who was 4? It was Castillo, and
Pablo Lopez at +1200. Okay.
He's good. I don't know if he's Cy Young.
I don't either. You think about it, though, there's not a lot of pitchers in the AL who are kind of slam dunks to be that guy.
Cole's the favorite, and he's almost 5.5-1 odds. It just shows
Montgomery's still a free agent. Snell's still a free agent. Those guys could still sign somewhere and upset those odds.
They're
obviously not in there because they're not AL or NL. So once they do sign with the team, So, it's like I said, it's for a team that it's funny. It just shows you how top heavy the Yankees are. Because from a casual perspective, you just look at that, you say, Yankees are fourth to win the World Series, right? The fourth favorite, co-favorite to win the AL. Oh, they have the two favorites to win the AL MVP, the favorite to win the AL Cy Young. Like, they're killing it, but it just shows you how top heavy their roster is, right? Like we were saying this before the show. There's certain teams that there's not an exact formula or an exact math or science, but there's certain teams that are just kind of built for the regular season. They're built to, just put up crazy offensive numbers. They're built to go back to back to back. You know, they're built to just win 100 games, but then they get to the postseason and the game just changes, right? Like postseason baseball is just different. We see it every year.
I think the Blue Jays are a great example like that. And honestly, even Tampa Bay, they haven't done anything postseason in a couple of years.
The thing about Tampa, though, is that they are built they are built by strategy, and their strategy is just like all these different moves they have to make and all these different roster moves, switching guys out, doing all these different things, taking chances on guys. Eventually you get to the playoffs. You have to have some type of certainty. Right. You can't be making all these different moves and win. Like, I think the only example that's even remotely like that is the Diamondbacks making the World Series last year. And that was because they made it based on incredibly clutch hitting, very good defense, and their offense getting enough done to make it. Because they had three starters. They used bullpen game. They may have three bullpen games.
Mm-hmm.
In the playoffs, like, they had a good bullpen. It wasn't great. It wasn't fantastic by any means, but it got the job done. Their starters weren't wonderful. They got the job done, but it was just like the timing of everything was perfect. And that's how the Rays are built in the regular season.
Right. But I feel like they exhaust
you can't have both. Yeah. You know,
well, I feel like the Rays do a lot of very kind of gimmicky, almost like trick play, which works against like the average to bad teams or throughout like a long season. But you get to the playoffs. You get to the playoffs and it's like, all right, now all these teams are really good. Now you have to actually beat these teams. You can't just raise your way to a series victory. You have to actually beat them on the field.
If you think about 2019, okay, the Rays went 18-1 against the Orioles. That's why they made the playoffs that year.
Well, that's like why they won the division,
Which year?
2019, the Yankees
won. What was the year that, like, the Yankees were bad against the O's?
2018, the Red Sox won.
That's what it was. And then we didn't have the home field advantage, and it was because of how average we were.
Right. We had a great year, won 103 games, lost the division by 5 games.
But the Rays are very good at beating bad teams, I think, but they're not good at consistently beating good teams. You put it up against a three game series, they can win 2 out of 3, but you put them in a chance where it's win or go home and they don't have a cushion of their weird gimmicky moves, or they don't have, you know, a book on all these different things to pull, then all of a sudden they're going to be in a bad position like they were against the Rangers in the wild card series.
Winner take all. It's like bullpen day. It's like, just put out a good starter. Just play the game.
They realize that they don't have enough good moves.
Well, to Tampa's credit, they lost like 3 or 4 guys to Tommy John last year.
Yeah.
So like, they would have had starters.
And, you know, one thing that we're forgetting too is they traded Glasnow. Like, that is going to be a huge detriment to them. They got Ryan Pepiot in return, but at the same time, he's an incredibly young pitcher. He might be good. He might not. You don't know.
You don't know what you're going to get from him. Springs, you don't know what you're going to get from him. Rasmussen, was he hurt too?
Yeah. Their only, like, starter who's probably a shoo-in for being
is Eflin, right?
Is Eflin, and who the hell knows if he's going to repeat his 2023 season.
Oh, I knew when he was mid with Philly.
And obviously,
I was like, he's going to have a great year because they were double magic.
But can he continue it is the question. Yeah. Because he can have one good year using the Rays' devil magic, but at some point the magic's going to run out.
Well, they traded Luke Raley after 1 year. They were able to squeeze blood from a stone out of him and then just started him immediately. So.
And they got Jose Caballero, who
they needed a shortstop for reasons.
If I remember, is the guy that got mad at Cole at Yankee Stadium when the Mariners were in town, and Cole did the
That was him.
Yeah, he threw the ball like way over his head. They all got mad at him, and then Cole was like, "What are you? Huh? Hello?" But
classic.
Yeah. I'm not intimidated by the Rays at all, but at the same time, I know they're going to win 90 games.
Minimum.
Yeah. That's what's going to happen. It's what they do.
They will find a way. So, yeah, I mean, we talk about teams like built for the postseason, and such an important thing is having two starting pitchers that you can rely on. And let's transition that to the Yankees, who now, let's see our rotation. obviously you have Gerrit Cole, who we trust, reigning Cy Young champ, obviously didn't get to pitch in the postseason in his best year of his career, but I digress. Then the rest of the rotation, right? Rodon, Stroman, Nestor, Clark Schmidt. Who's your two out of that? Now, Rodon and Stroman are both very interesting. Rodon, like, both of those guys have the ability to be top five Cy Young, all-star, low two, high one ERAs.
They both those guys have that ability. They both got Cy Young votes 2 years ago.
Right. We both have seen them be dominant pitchers.
Yeah.
They could also both be, you know, high five ERA by the All-Star break. There's a lot of very high ceiling, very low floor. Both those guys. I think obviously Nestor, I think we kind of know what we're going to get. I mean, does Nestor go back? I mean, could he go back to having a 2.4, 2.5 ERA? Yeah, but I would be shocked.
I think if Nestor puts up like an ERA below four, I'd be ecstatic.
I'd be okay with 4.25.
Yeah.
I think the league's kind of figured out.
He can throw 170 innings and have a solid season and be your number four. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, remember the big thing with him last year was he had a career high in innings in 2022, and clearly it had a lingering effect on him. And I wonder if the injuries are going to carry over into this year, or because he was injured so much last year, it was that much less miles that were on his arm.
His body should be better this year.
So,
which means we're sacrificing next year, but it's fine.
If you follow that route, yes.
That's fine. So, it's definitely the rotation is definitely the biggest question, I think, with this team. Because now the lineup look on paper looks a lot better. Now on the field, we'll see. That's a whole nother story. But yeah, I think the Stroman signing is good. But like I said, that's a guy who has had great moments the past few years, has had some really bad
stretches. The problem with the Stroman signing is that it is good enough to give us hope, but it's not major enough to let us see through the other holes in the roster. Like, if the Yankees had gone out and they had instead signed Snell and gotten a couple depth pitchers, like say they had a Cardinals offseason. Sonny Gray, Lance Lynn, Kyle Gibson, and then they had also signed Snell, I'd be okay with that. Obviously, that's way too many starters, but this is just in this hypothetical situation.
You're going to need 7-8 starters.
Exactly.
The opening day roster. You need that much as depth. And the Yankees' depth right now is what? Will Warren and Clayton Beter?
Yeah.
Not great.
All of their depth was traded for Soto or Beter. Cut.
Is it Beter season?
Anyways, ignoring Luis.
Borderman has thoughts about Beaters.
Yankees rotation is more of a question mark.
Scary.
It could be good. Rodon all of a sudden, Rodon comes out, looks great, has something along the lines of his 2022 season. Fantastic.
Got to give him a full season, right? I've said that like 100 times last year. Like, all right, let's see how he looks with the spring training.
Give him 25 starts.
Right.
Give him 25 starts. Say he misses a month due to injury. Because let's be real, I don't think
he lasts. In the Yankee time, that's like a week. So
yeah, that's just like a typical season.
It's nothing.
Nestor.
Random note, did you guys see Anthony Rendon saying, like, oh, they need to shorten the season? Everyone's like, brother, your seasons are short. Like, what are you talking about?
Career high in games played for the Angels is 58.
Yeah, it's like, have some self-awareness. It's like, oh, wait, they need a short season. It's like, dude, like,
less than a full season's worth of games in the last three seasons combined.
It's
like, how tone deaf do you have to be?
Very. I mean, the guy hates baseball, so I mean, it makes sense. But anyways,
back to it. Okay, hang on. Let me drop some hypotheticals on you guys, okay? Cole goes out, has a Cole season. We move on past that. Rodon goes out, puts up, throws 25 starts, 160 innings, has a 3.90 ERA.
Awesome. Love that. Nestor, is that how low my expectations for him? Love that.
Nestor goes out, has a 4.4 ERA in 27 starts. Stroman has like an even 4. Schmidt has like a 4.5. Schmidt goes the whole year. Stroman does has like 29 starts. Would we be good with that?
Oh, in the situation you just laid out, the Yankees miss a total of like 12 to 15 starts from their rotation for the entire season. It's impossible. Yes. Yes.
That scenario is, it's not amazing, but it's like, it's not a disaster scenario.
It's, you know? Yeah, exactly.
It's like, okay, Rodon and Stroman, neither their arms fell off and neither had mental breakdowns halfway through the season. Okay. Yeah. Like, we're doing good. Like, Stroman didn't get into a fight with the fans.
And if the Yankees get that much length out of their rotation, it minimizes the impact of us not really addressing the bullpen this offseason.
Yeah.
When you have guys throwing 2-3 innings is when you have to stretch out the bullpen. You need to churn through 15 arms. We haven't really addressed that yet. Wandy's still a free agent. They haven't added, to my knowledge, anyone, right? Am I losing my mind?
Victor Gonzalez.
There's an upside of like he could be a Wandy
Peralta.
Yeah, he could.
Yeah.
But his best season was what, the 2020 COVID year with the Dodgers?
Yeah.
So
he's been injured.
Can Blake make him awesome? I hope so. That'd be great. But
outside of that, I think the Yankees are planning on having their depth starters. I think they're planning on doing the exact same thing they've been doing with them. They bring them in, they have them start in AAA, and then they bring them up when they need to. Say Rodon gets an pulls his oblique, he's out for 3 months. They'll bring up Will Warren, have him start. If he's bad, they send him back down. Like, they'll use them.
What, Luis Heel's next man up? Like,
yeah, they'll use them as either.
I was thinking Luis Heel would be like the number 6 man to start the year.
Probably is, yeah. Because he has major league experience.
Yeah, the guy in AAA ready to, like, all right, one injury, you're in the rotation.
It's just so funny. You think about. I Davey Garcia was talked about so highly for so long.
He was good in 2020.
And he's not even in the organization now, but like, had he still been in the conversation, you feel good about it. Well, if Rodon goes down, you throw Davey out there for a month, he's serviceable, you move on kind of thing. Now, can Cashman pull off a 2014 where he goes and makes a low under the radar trade for a guy like a Brandon McCarthy type this year? We may have to, right? You just make a guy who's, you know, going to cost you a million or two, a mid-level prospect, and suddenly he's thrown to a 3.5 ERA in the middle of your rotation, giving you 15 starts. You may need that to get through the season. And if you can hit on that, awesome. But we can't project that at this point.
I remember months ago I went on a rant about this, and you guys might remember it, but I still don't understand the Yankees' mindset when it comes to developing pitchers, because they don't let minor league pitchers be themselves in the major leagues. They bring them up based on their own needs, and that's not how you develop pitching. Like, if they go up and they bring up Clayton Beater and they say, all right, here's a 6-3 game that we're losing, you're in the eighth inning, throw 2 innings. That completely throws off every bit of rhythm that he's been working with.
That dude probably hasn't done that in years. That dude's probably done that once or twice in his life.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it, there's such a different mentality for starting than there is for warming up in the bullpen. And you have to be a certain type of person to succeed in both roles. That's why someone like John Smoltz was so good, because he was able to be a starter and then go to relief.
That's why Mike King was the centerpiece of a Juan Soto trade.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because he did the opposite. He was a reliever. He went out and threw, you know, two innings every time he came in. And then he switched to throwing 6 innings.
Which technically Smoltz did too. He was a starter, then he was a closer, then he was a starter at the end. So,
but something like that is so valuable.
And then a terrible commentator.
Yes.
Yeah, well, but there's a reason that that isn't done more. And I don't know why the Yankees continue to do it, because this is what they've been doing for years. They have like a few incredibly prized prospects that they let be starters. They let do their thing. It's like, they cherry pick random people, and they do this with position players too, but not as much. they cherry picked a guy like Seve, a guy like Volpe, a guy like Dominguez, and they say, all right, you are going to basically be able to map out your entire career with us. And then everyone else on the depth chart behind them gets the shaft.
Well, to your point, they do it based out of necessity, right? So you're burning through pitchers way faster than you are position players. There's
because
a higher
they
rate
don't
of
build
up injury with those guys. So when you have a starter go down, when you have two relievers get hurt and miss a couple weeks, right? Like Loaisiga is going to hurt his shoulder. Like, it's going to happen. He does it every year. Like, you're going to have to pull up someone, and then you completely derail their development. They'll track.
The Yankees consider their top pitching prospects to be pitching depth.
Wherever we need you when we call you up, you got to fill
that
exactly.
Hole. There's a difference between going out and signing Matt Bowman and Anthony Misiewicz, whatever his name was, Asher Wojciechowski, all these random-ass guys who their entire MLB careers are being depth options.
Right, like Luke Weaver is going to be that.
Weaver is a depth option, but for all we know, he signed a major league deal, I think. He's a bullpen option.
Should be the middle reliever, right?
Yeah.
Like maybe 2-3 innings. Like,
but next thing we know, he's going to be starting, and the Yankees are going to need a reliever, and they'll bring up Clayton Beter and say, all right, you're going to be, you know, our number six guy in the bullpen now.
Right, instead of a guy like Gomez.
Gomez
should be the guy to throw in the bullpen.
Instead of switching the roles and saying, okay, Beter, you're our pitcher now. Weaver, go to the bullpen. Weaver's a depth guy. But Clayton Beter's a starter, so they should be focusing on him being a starter. And if he fails, he fails. But you don't derail his career just because you need to fill a gap in your roster. And that's what I don't get about this whole team.
That was a very good rant, Alex. And you're right. It's true. It's like they view their pitching prospects as like, oh, look, this dude has a live arm, bullpen piece. Like, we could, this could be our new sixth inning guy. And it's like, why not try to make him a future guy in your rotation? You know, like, have him come. If you're going to bring him up, let him start some games. Like, if he's a starter, let him start. It's one of the many issues of developing players with this team. But
And I get it, because part of it is we're trying to build the best possible roster we can. There's a bit of an unknown factor with a guy who has never pitched in the major leagues before, as opposed to a guy with Luke Weaver, who you kind of know what you're getting. He's not going to be anything great, but he's depth, and that's what he's on this team to do. But at the same time, there's always something more you can do. And if you look at a team like the Dodgers, they don't pull any of these moves with their young pitchers. They went out and they let Bobby Miller and Emmett Sheehan and Ryan Pepiot and Gavin Stone and all these young pitchers that they had, they let them start games. And some of them were not good, but some of them, like Miller, were fantastic and stayed in the rotation the entire year. And that's the risk you have to take. But the Yankees are
every situation like that, there's the Dustin May. And I know he had his own Tommy John, but they kind of jerked him around too. So like that's like every team.
I'm not saying the Dodgers are the pinnacle of MLB organizations, but they're closer than the Yankees are.
For sure.
Absolutely. Guys, let's wrap up the show with a few fun things, because, you know.
Oh, I like fun things. After my blood pressure just steadily went like this during my rant there.
The Yankees released their promotion schedule. There's going to be a Yankee hockey jersey night and a Yankee football jersey night. Neither rendering looks great, but I'm hoping it looks better live, because
the hockey jersey would be awesome.
A good Yankee hockey jersey would be sick.
Yeah.
We got Star Wars Day, Jarrett Cole Jedi bobblehead. Very cool.
Jarrett Cole?
Jarrett Cole.
Did I say that, Jarrett Cole? Yeah. It's minute 40, okay? Let's get into that part. I think I mixed Jedi and Garrett.
Yeah.
The Aaron Judge 62 bobbleheads in there, right? Because it got canceled last year.
Because it got canceled last year.
That's on Saturday, April 20th, so G will be there.
Brian Hoke will be giving them out at the gates.
Yep, absolutely. We also have an Anthony Volpe Gold Glove bobblehead day.
That one will be cool.
Totally remembered he won the Gold Glove. Definitely remember that.
You aren't a casual.
I'm not a casual. Said. Just like I remember Luke Weaver was on the 23 Yankees. Luke Weaver. So yeah, guys. Any final thoughts? Any other joyous thoughts about this great organization?
Here's to manifesting they do something more in the next 2 months and don't sit back.
Don't get your hopes up.
I'm not getting my hopes up.
Yeah.
But I would like
to one normal season, right? Like injuries are going to happen. People are going to go through hot and cold spells. But they were such an unfun brand of baseball.
Give us give us a 2021 version of Judge being healthy, Stan being healthy, Rizzo being healthy. Just everyone being generally healthy and living up to their expectations.
And even if they all suck, then at least you know, like, well, this would be like everyone's cooked. We can just flip the roster.
Answer the questions for us. You know, don't make us go into the off season in November going, well, what do we do now? Like, I guess do we re-sign Soto? Like,
well, I have to re-sign. That has to be priority number one.
I know,
but
what I'm saying is there's going to be so many more questions a year from now.
Yeah, this time next year, they won't have a first baseman. They won't have a third baseman.
They don't have a third baseman right now. They're putting a cooked second baseman with toe problems at third and calling it a day.
And mixing in one of their prized prospects who they effectively ruined a year and a half into his career.
Yeah.
Oswald Peraza. You look very
good. So anyways, for Luigi, for Andrew, and for Alex, this was the Bronx Bomber Battle Show. And we'll see you guys next time.